Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here.
Good morning, boss.
Man, how's March going for you, man?
It's marching along.
We just released a sneak preview to about 5,000 people yesterday about this church in the wild. And I can't even imagine what's going to happen. I hope everybody heard that episode. If not, make sure you look that up.
Yeah.
So good. It was two powerhouses, the twin titans. Pastor Mike and Pastor Neil, who it is an honor to serve with. Carlos and Briley are here. Welcome to the podcast, you two.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
The thing is that we're talking about church in the wild, and you really are church in the wild.
Yeah.
Seriously, these are two leaders of campus ministries at two high schools here in East County, right? Carlos, where are you, a Bible club campus leader?
Granite Hills High School.
Okay, Granite Hills. What about you, Bradley?
West Hills High School.
Okay. First of all, I've had one back when I was in high school, it was a year or two ago, and then I've been able to speak at them as well, and that's the church that's on that campus. That's Jesus's people on campus. Whether it's bad or good, that's who Jesus has there. And so that's why I've always been so supportive of that. So enough about Church in the Wild. Let's talk about you guys and your part and your role in it. So Carlos, tell me a little bit about how you came to the Lord, how you ended up at Foothills, all that kind of stuff, okay?
So when I was growing up, it was just me and my mom and my brother. We were kind of in a spot where we kind of moved around a lot. We didn't really have a place to be. So I kind of say like we were homeless and stuff. It was just really difficult to like kind of find somewhere where I felt like I belonged and stuff.
Yeah.
This is when I was in like elementary school. And so I stayed with my grandma for a little bit just because where I was with my mom was not really a good spot. So then I just stayed with my grandma. Then one day I just found this place in Lakeside called Youth Venture.
Yeah.
And then so we kind of walked in and immediately Fred came over and just like started offering me food. He's like, here, come take brownies and chili that I made and go play video games with the rest of the kids and stuff. And so that's how
I love Fred. Yeah. He is so, so good.
That's one of my mentors. So
yeah.
I still love him all the time.
So that's when you were kind of in elementary school back at that point?
Yeah.
Okay. And how old are you now?
I'm 18.
So it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
So did you give your life to the Lord there at Youth Venture?
Well, I did all the lessons because I was bribed with food.
Of course.
There was this one leader, David Noretto. It was me and my brother. He was like, every time you do a lesson, I'll buy you guys some fries from the Mexican shop next door. And so obviously being a being a very hungry kid, I was like always, yeah, that sounds amazing. And so I always do that.
Yeah.
So I finished all the lessons and then they would take me on Sundays to church with their bus. And then I started going to the junior high group, all the camps and stuff.
Yeah.
In eighth grade, winter camp, like the last night I really had an experience with the Lord. Cool. I remember it was Mike Van Meter. He was speaking and he was talking about if anyone really wants to just feel God's love and presence in your life, just come up to the front and just ask for it so then we can pray for you. I was with all my friends and I didn't really want to go up there because I was like, I don't want to be embarrassed and stuff or just be like that one kid that goes up for prayer because I thought it was weird at that point.
Yeah.
A little bit, but so I stayed in the back and just prayed for myself. And then all of a sudden, just God just hit me. And I just started crying and like bawling on the floor. Like I just could not stop. It was
uncontrollable.
Yeah. Oh. And so that was kind of like a defining moment in my life. I just felt God's presence like so heavy. Like, it was real. For me, it struggled with my faith just because I didn't really know if he was there. People talk about him being there all the time, but I've never experienced it.
It became tangible. It became something you could hold on to and touch. Yeah. I love it.
And after that, I got baptized.
Sweet.
Yeah.
John Hoffman calls that an ever since then moment, you know, and people need that. And what I like about so many parts of your story is that the people that are listening could see themselves in the story. Like you can work a shift. You can make brownies and chili and feed it to hungry kids for Jesus 3 hours a week, right? And Fred's been doing it forever, right? Shout out, Fred. You got to be listening to this. The other part is just, you know, it was so many times bringing kids to church and then seeing what God does. Just crazy amazing. Now, what about you, brother? What's your story?
I grew up in a family that we went to church when I was growing up, but then my parents were never really dedicated Christians. So we just completely stopped going to church altogether. So it became it was set on the back burner. Like, I didn't think about being a Christian at all until I was in sixth grade, and one of the girls in my grade asked me to come to her small group at Foothills. Okay. And so I started coming to that group. At the time,
what's your name?
Her name was Zoe.
Okay.
Yeah.
That means fullness of life. That is
it does?
Great.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
yeah, with
wonderful.
Two dots over the O, man. Huh. Zoe,
that's
fullness
beautiful.
Of life.
That's
when Jesus
cute.
Came to give us fullness of life, that's Zoe.
Huh.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah. At the time, I was just really struggling. I was in middle school, and I was just really struggling. I didn't have any friends that I like felt. I didn't have any connections with people, and I was just in a rut. Like, I just didn't know. Everything felt meaningless to me.
Wow.
And my friend that was like, kind of a friend, like we weren't super close, but she invited me to the small group, and so I came, and it was like the first time I had felt welcomed somewhere in such a long time. That wasn't when I became a Christian, but I finally felt like I was wanted somewhere.
Yeah.
And I met Michelle Hoffman. She was the leader of that small group.
Oh, so good.
She made me feel so welcomed and so loved instantly. And I never wanted to stop coming. And I just continued to come. And it wasn't even until the beginning of my eighth grade year that I really had a big encounter with God where I really felt like this is what I want and where I wanted to give my life to the Lord. But until then, it was just like going through the motions. Like, I saw everyone around me being so happy with what they had with God. And I wanted it so badly that I was just going through the emotions and trying to get to where they were, like trying to fulfill myself in different ways that I saw them doing. And I just still felt so like empty, but I just kept coming. I think it was just like really the encouragement of my leaders in that group. They always checked in on me and they always were like, hey, are you coming group? And it made it impossible to just fade away. Like, they were always on my mind because they were always reaching out. I went to summer camp after seventh grade year, going into my eighth grade year. And at that camp, I had such an incredible encounter with the Lord where I finally felt his presence. I broke down in tears. I remember just like being on my knees, just sobbing for the Lord. I was giving everything to him. I told him, like, I want you to fight these battles that I'm fighting. I don't want to deal with these burdens on my own anymore. I wanted him. And it was finally like the first time that I felt his presence. Like, I had shivers everywhere. I was sobbing uncontrollably. And coming back from camp, it was different. Like, I'd gone to other camps before and it was just the same thing where, like, you come down the mountain and everything's back to normal. But yeah, that was so different. I came down the mountain and everything still felt the same. Like, I saw everything so differently. That was when I finally started to really press into the Lord. And I feel like even other people around me started to say, like, something was different about me. And I was like, really? And it was just incredible. And then in November of 2019, I got baptized. Yeah.
Beautiful.
You, Matthew, I don't know. I think I've told you this, but I'm like the cowboy at baptism. So for the last 20 years, I've been at just about every single baptism. And I got to tell you, the celebration of that,
yeah,
and that ever since then moment, all of that, it's just like, it's my favorite thing in the world, because it's the public proclamation to your past, to the world, to the challenges in your life, and to the Lord that he is Lord. And it just changes everything.
Amen.
It's so good. So you could have, and this is something about what Church in the Wild is about, you could have been in this really loving, accepting family and just stayed there, like in a hot tub, and just enjoyed each other, because it's so good to be in the family of God. But you guys at some point chose to go outside those walls.
Yep.
Right? Like to Youth Venture or like these campus clubs. And a lot of people who are listening don't go to Foothills. I don't know why they don't just pack up, move from Nebraska and just come to Foothills. I'm not certain why that hasn't happened with everybody, but they can do this in their community as well. And especially the young people that are your age, you can do this. So how did you get picked, coerced, or called to do this, these campus ministries on public school campuses, which are really the wild. So Carlos, how did that work for you that you decided to do that? Were you a member of that campus club before?
No, there was no campus club before.
So a school had nothing. And then what happened?
So I think it was going into my junior year. It was a summer camp. And John kind of just spoke about if people were interested in starting campus clubs. Like he mentioned it the night before, like the last day. And so like he kind of gave us time to think about it. And I was just praying because all my friends were like, yeah, let's start one. Like they wanted to start one at West Hills and at LCAP. But for me, like for my school and my group, like I'm the only one at Granite, me and my brother. But I was like, I can't do that. I can't speak in front of other people. I've never spoken in front of other people. So I don't know. I just wouldn't feel confident. Like I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't feel equipped or called. And then God, during that night, he was like, yeah, you're going to do this. And I'm going to help you. I'm going to walk you through it. He kind of just told me, he's like, yeah, you're going to do it. I didn't really have a say. I was like, I was like excited, but I was like so nervous and scared because I was like, I don't feel ready for it. But I know if God's calling me, he's going to prepare me.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how it built, like the first day of it and how it went in the beginning.
Yeah. So we had a lot of troubles starting the club because it was like halfway through the year. It just took so long to finally get it started because all the paperwork, you needed like 6 members. And I was the only Christian I even knew on campus. So it's like,
gosh,
I don't know how like I'm supposed to get this started. But I talked to John because you also needed an advisor too, like right. A teacher.
Yeah, it's like a sponsor for a teacher. And this is John Uyoa, the high school pastor.
Yes, John Uyoa. Yeah. And so I didn't even know a teacher like that was a Christian that would host it.
Yeah.
But he told me one day, do you know this teacher named Miss Drake? And I was like, yeah, that's my math teacher. What about her? He's like, she was part of one of my prayer groups. So you could probably ask her. And so I asked her and she was like, yeah, I absolutely want to help you.
You know what it feels like to me? I'm picturing myself when Jesus fed everybody with the fish and loaves.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So he's like looking around and saying, yeah, we got to feed these guys. And then there's some kid and his mom packed his lunch. And it was just a little thing. And I could just see this kid just coming up to Jesus going, I don't know what you could do with this.
I got this.
There you go. I'll give this. And that's exactly what you're both doing. I'm no superstar. I don't even know how to do anything.
Yeah.
I think I'm the only Christian on a campus of 2,000 people or something.
Which, by the way, is the most powerful position to be in when you're a Christian.
Yeah.
It is the most powerful place you can be because that keeps you humble, yet you are completely dependent on the Lord to do his thing through you.
You're just leaning on him.
Yeah.
You had your first club.
Yeah. And
did you have 6 people that came?
No, we didn't, thankfully, because there was this thing called the club rush that my school has. And it's a bunch of tables that different clubs will have and kind of just like shout out like, hey, this is my club.
Yeah. I love knitting.
Yeah. So like,
well, we do the same club. Thing.
Yeah. So I ended up doing that, and there was tons of people that wanted to sign up. I think I had like 80 people that probably signed up.
No way, really?
So I had to go in and text everyone, hey, this is where the club is, this is what time, this Thursday, if you guys are willing to come.
Did you let them know you had pizza?
We did let them know we had pizza. We also had a raffle the first time, too.
Wow. So, did you have a car or something?
Just some gift cards.
Okay.
Yeah, but so the first club, we had 50 people come.
Amazing.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
A lot of people just came for the pizza, but it was really cool because then I got to meet a lot of Christians I never knew were Christians before.
Yeah.
So it was really awesome.
It's so cool to know. It's like Elijah says, I'm the only faithful one guy. And he goes, you're not.
Yeah.
And they come out of the woodwork, and that's so cool. And I want to hear more, but Riley, tell me about your experience. How'd you get hoodwinked by John Uyoa to go do this?
So I actually didn't get convinced by John for this. I did bring him into it after I decided to do it. But my end of like junior year, I was like, I just feel like there's so much missing on this campus. And I was like, I just really wish that I had Christian friends here. I didn't know any Christians at my school. And it was just really hard. And I just really wanted that. And I was like, it's the end of the school year. I can't do anything about it now. And I had the idea of like, how would I start a Christian club? Like, where do I even begin? And I pushed it away. I was, it's the end of the school year. It's not going to happen. I'm not the right person for it anyways. And I pushed it away, and then all throughout summer, it just followed me. I was like, why is this thought just constantly pressing in onto me? And Future Quest, it really just hit me again. Like, I was feeling really called to do it. But I was just like, how? Like, where do I even begin? I don't know what to do. And I was like walking through the main area to get into the sanctuary, and I saw this person here at one of the tables. And it was Chris Young. He was there for UIC, I think it is. No, what? CYU.
CYU.
Okay. CYU.
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I was CYU, and I went and talked to him, and his name is Chris Young, and he was like, we can help you guys start Christian clubs on campuses. And I was like, oh. And I like didn't really say anything at the moment, but it was just like in the back of my head, and I kept thinking about it and thinking about it. I was talking to my friends, and I was like, I really feel, I don't know like why it's not leaving my head. And they're like, go do it, go do it, go do it. And I was like, are you sure? And they just kept pushing me and encouraging me in it. They're like, if you're feeling this calling from the Lord, you need to pursue it. So I went and met with him for lunch during Future Quest. And we just sat down, talked about what I wanted to happen at West Hills. And from the bottom up, he helped me figure out a teacher that would be willing to have a place for us to do it. He helped me find another girl at Foothills that I had ran into a couple times, but I didn't even know her. Grace. I don't know her last name. Do you?
Bailey.
Yes, Grace Bailey.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and he's like, oh, there's this girl named Grace, and she also has been interested in starting a Christian club at West Hills. And I was like, oh my gosh, really? So he got us connected, and we together started to reach out and find people to sign off, because of course you have to have like your six people to sign off for a club. We ended up getting our club started at like the beginning of the school year, and it was amazing. And we also have a club drive for ours, so we were able to get a lot of the word out. We had snacks and stuff. I reached out to my leader, and she helped provide us with a bunch of snacks and stuff for our club drive to get people to come over to our booth. And then we had, I think, almost 100 people signed up on our spreadsheet for it. So I just started reaching out to people. And our very first club, we had about 50 people too. It was incredible. And it was just, it was really encouraging, because I was so worried about, how do I do this? And will anybody even show up? Does anybody even care? And it was just, it was really eye-opening to see how many people just needed that little bit of a push. And it's been amazing to see the club like flourish.
You know, the thing that unleashes the purposes of God is our obedience. I don't know if you guys were there. We were talking about baptism earlier, right? We're at baptism at Foothills, and a woman is crying in the lobby. And Gabby Merlot was my hospitality director, a wonderful woman of God.
She's awesome.
And she comes running up to me and she goes, hey, there's a woman that wants to get baptized. It was during baptism. And we had about 20 people that went through the class. And so I talked to Pastor Dave. And he said, sure. And I talked to her, see if she was a Christian, Jesus her Lord, all this stuff. And so she comes up when everybody's done. And Pastor Dave, just like your Holy Spirit experiences, says, you know, I think there's other people here who the Lord is calling to get baptized. And people stood up from every part of the sanctuary and just started coming down.
It was like a stampede.
Yeah, it was like 60 to 70 people that got baptized that day. I ran out of baptism towels. I had to wrap them in tablecloths. They're all in their clothes.
Amazing.
And that's what happened with you. Her obedience to say, the Lord is telling me to get baptized, unleashed this joy through this entire sanctuary, right? And there were Christians that were there. You found out there were Christians that are there. You didn't know it. But your obedience to say, okay, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but I'll do it.
Hallelujah.
And then look what happened.
Wow.
And that's not just on a campus, that's in our lives.
Yeah.
If we're obedient at work, if we're obedient in our neighborhood, if we're obedient on the soccer team, God will unleash his power through our obedience, and who knows what will happen, right? So that's insane. But let me ask you this, because people are listening all over and they're all various ages. Tell me a little bit about what the struggles are that young people on these campuses are going through right now. What's it like on a campus, maybe without a Christian club?
I just feel like there's so many different things that high school students are, like specifically at public schools, I feel, are going through, because there's not a lot of guidance that you can trust. I just feel like there's so many students who are struggling with things like at home, but then they come to school and they've got a whole nother set of problems that they're dealing with at school. And I think that's partly why this club was something so important to me, is because like I knew starting out the club, like we're trying to bribe people basically with like the pizza. Like we're trying to get people to want to come, but it's like
Cali fries over here. She makes it popular. Yeah.
I would so much rather have somebody come just for pizza, but feel welcomed and have a place where they can feel safe.
Come on.
But maybe they don't know the Lord yet. And that's okay. I continue to pray that one day they're going to show up for the pizza and they're going to hear something that's going to click. And then that's my whole entire goal with this club. There's so many different things you can't even imagine to like narrow it down to just a couple. Everybody's struggling with so many different things, whether it's not having friends, whether it's homelessness, whether it's just students, like they are working so many hours to help their parents pay bills, whether it's just like struggling with identity. I know a lot of students at my school struggle with that because they've been told so many different lies. And just like being a place where we never judge, but we just love them so deeply. And we just want to be so clear with them about, look, maybe I disagree, but I love you. And I want you to come every single week. And we want you to continue to come back. And it's just been a really great opportunity to see those different struggles for people and just like push into them and
just
like
love
and just be there with them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are there, Michelle Hoffman. Nicely done.
That's a big compliment.
Yeah, I know it is. I love her.
I love Michelle.
Are you sure? You know, just loving your peers on that campus through the struggles of life with the love of Jesus, you know, how he loved you when you were going through it. Do you see that at your club, Carlos?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different things that people struggle with on my campus that I can see. I see a lot of anxiety, even depression.
Oh, and yeah.
Like she was talking about, like identity, even comparing yourself to another person, trying to live up to the standard that other people have. And like, I don't know, just like their worth, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And just how can God use someone that's so broken or like just fallen away from them or just like never known you? I've done all this stuff against you, but why would they use me?
Yeah. Boy, that's the enemy's best trick. Yeah. That's his best lie.
Have either of you seen any breakthroughs in the students' lives that are coming there? Do you have any stories about people getting the same type of freedom that you've gotten?
Yeah, so one of my friends actually, she was on my cheer team and I never knew that she was a Christian, but since me starting the club, so many more people at my school have been made aware of there's so many more Christians at the school than they previously thought. And she came to me and she just broke down crying to me. And she was like, I have been feeling so empty. Like I used to have a relationship with the Lord and I fell off. And she was like, I just feel so empty. And I have been like, I brought her to church on Sunday and I've been trying to get her to come on Thursdays. She just hasn't been able to make it, unfortunately. But we've been doing Bible studies together. I've been doing devotionals with her, which is just like, even if she can't come to a certain thing, like it's just the fact that she's still being vulnerable with me. And yeah. She like broke down to me just saying, look, like I know you're the president of the Christian club. Can you help me? Can you pray for me? And I was like, what? Yes.
That's rad.
But it was just like one of those things where it's, I don't think anybody ever would have said that to me before without this club. People knew that I was Christian, but nobody would have ever come to me and said, hey, you're a Christian. Can you pray for me? I think it's just the fact that they know that I'm being so faithful to the Lord through this club that it's encouraged people to feel safe.
That's good.
And just genuinely loving the people, just being transparent, just being yourself. This is a regular person. This isn't some big shot evangelist or somebody that they can't relate to perhaps. It's just a regular person really giving and loving. So as you have any experience like that, Carlos, with your club, you're seeing breakthroughs?
Yeah, so there was one message that I gave at my club and it was talking about how to be a Christian on your campus, because that was something I struggled with for a really long time. But then after I started my club, it was really easy. But I just wanted other people to have that same success and just feel encouraged about my testimonies. After I gave that message, I was kind of like, how many of you really feel like that? How many of you guys don't really know if like you guys feel equipped, but like, you guys want to try and trust in God to just help you guys? And I told them, like, I don't want you guys to be ashamed. So can you guys like just raise your hands? I just want to know who's serious about this. And there was like, so many people. It was like probably like one hand at first, and then two, and then three, and then five, and then 10. It was like just so awesome. And there was like screaming and shouting because they were just so excited. I was like, this is so awesome. And I like had this joy in my heart, just really just almost started crying right there, honestly. I was just
I would too. Yeah, all of this. I want to know, because so many times one of the most powerful questions that I've had when people are on the podcast is, what is the Lord teaching you personally right now? Because this sounds absolutely wonderful and it's so fulfilling to see fruit of your obedience and everything, but that doesn't mean life is so magically perfect and everything like that. So what's the Lord teaching you right now? If you've had some challenges or you had some things that he's bringing you through or that he's working with you on?
I think the Lord has really been working with me on patience, because I'm a big planner. And so I've always wanted to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this, like when I want to do it. And so I think like the Lord has really been teaching me about like patience and trusting his timing and just like trusting him that he's got the plan for me and I don't need to make it happen myself necessarily. I just need to trust in him and be obedient to him and it'll happen.
That is a lifelong lesson.
Boy,
it really is. What about you, Carlos? What's the Lord doing with you these days?
I think that the Lord's just been teaching me like there's so many people just around me that are just broken and just lost. And I think that he's given me his love just to share with other people, and especially for my family, because only me and my brother are really Christian. None of my other family's Christian. So it really hurts my heart. But at the same time, it's like I know I have the opportunity to share the love of Christ with them. So I think that's so awesome. And he's been teaching me that and showing me that. But also I play volleyball at Granite. And so I see a lot of the guys, and they also struggle with a lot of the same things that my family does. And so it's really cool that I do have the opportunity that maybe not have would have had if I didn't make this team or something.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And he plants you places, and that's your garden to cultivate. You're exactly the right place. And if you weren't obedient, he'd still be looking for somebody because he wants to accomplish his purposes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd really like it if you would just close us in prayer, but especially for the people that you both are reaching out to. And there's all sorts of ages that are listening, especially for young people to be bold in their obedience, to do something outside their comfort zone completely. So going to be a lot of different people listening to this, and I just love for you to pray for them.
Dear Lord, I thank you for this day and everything you've given us. I just am so grateful for this podcast, Lord, that, you know, there's people that don't go to this church that just are listening and just hopefully feel encouraged by this to just stand up and just share with the people around them, Lord. But I pray specifically for the younger people that really just want to share you with others, Lord. I pray that they wouldn't be ashamed, that they would just feel equipped and prepared by you, Lord, that they would feel sent, and that they would just feel their presence or your presence with them, just to help them carry along that task that you've given us, just to share your love with others.
And Bradley, I'd like you to pray too.
Okay.
Like, I think you've got an angle on this. This is really important.
Lord, I thank you that we've been able to have this opportunity to reach out to students that maybe haven't had the opportunity to know your love, Lord. And I just pray that you would continue to help us bless them and show your love through us. I just pray that you continue to help us be a light for you. And I just thank you for this opportunity to be on this podcast, to kind of, you know, be even a brighter light that shines to not just the place around us, but to everywhere, to anybody listening, not just people at Foothills, but like somebody else who might be listening somewhere else.
And I just want everybody listening to know, if you are interested in being involved or starting a teen center or starting a campus club that can have this kind of impact, you email kevinmiller@foothillschurch.org and I will connect you with the right people and you can be a part of this incredible story of Church in the Wild.
Yep. Remember, you are sent.